Richard III.
Aye. That I'm not shaped for sportive tricks.
Shakespeare's Richard III seems to match the body in this grave to some extent, doesn't it, Jonathan?
Well, to a point.
Could Shakespeare's Richard be the real Richard III? Another chance to hear Radio 3's acclaimed production with Ben Miles, Geraldine James, and Douglas Henshall.
I, that am rudely stabbed, and want Love's Majesty to strut before a wanton ambling nymph.
Shakespeare's Richard III, drama on 3, tonight at 7:45.
This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's just gone 1 o'clock, and this is David Cornett with a summary of the news. The BBC has defended a panorama documentary filmed in North Korea by a team of three undercover journalists posing as members of a university tour party. The corporation says the students from the London School of Economics were warned in advance that a journalist would be going with them and advised about the risks. But the LSE has asked for the broadcast tomorrow night to be cancelled, saying its students were denied the full facts and were put in serious danger. A spokeswoman for the LSE Students Union said the students had been used as human shields by Panorama. North Korea has dismissed South Korea's offer of peace talks as a cunning trick. According to the state news agency, North Korean officials said that if the South truly wanted talks, it would change its confrontational attitude. The Dean of St Paul's Cathedrals, Dr David Ison, has called on people to set aside politics during the funeral of Lady Thatcher on Wednesday. The Bishop of Grantham has said that the cost and scale of the service is playing into the hands of protesters. At least five people are reported to have been killed in an attack on a courthouse in the Somali capital, Mogadishu. Armed intruders entered the building and began firing. The people of Venezuela are voting for a successor to the late president, Hugo Chavez. The acting president, Nicolas Maduro, is running against Enrique Capriles, currently a state governor. Some 2,500 people have now been vaccinated at clinics set up to tackle the Swansea measles outbreak. The number of cases has risen to nearly 700, but officials have warned that that number could easily double. The BBC presenter Andrew Marr has appeared on television for the first time since suffering a stroke in January. Appearing on The Andrew Marr Show on BBC One this morning, he said walking was difficult and his left arm was not much good, but that his voice and memory were unimpaired. He insisted that once he'd completed physiotherapy, he would return to his old job. And the weather, it'll remain cloudy. It'll remain windy too. Rain will slowly move eastwards and become lighter, followed by brighter conditions and blustery showers. It'll be mostly warm and dry in the southeast with hazy sunshine. BBC News and weather at 1:03. And time now for today's early music show, introduced by Catherine Bott.
That was the Sinfonia for Trumpet in D Major by Giuseppe Torelli, played by Thomas Reiner with the Southwest German Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Sebastian Tewinkel. Now, Torelli is one of those names which crops up from time to time on concert programmes and recordings, but doesn't necessarily trip off the tongue when you're asked to come up with a Baroque top ten. Trumpeters all know him, of course, as the composer of more than 30 concertos for their instrument. There's much more to Torelli than that, though, as you'll gather during the course of today's programme. Before we get too far into the finer points of Torelli's life story, though, let's have some more music, something completely different from the trumpet piece we just heard. This is a concerto for guitar, violin and continuo in A major. Concerto for guitar and violin in A major by Giuseppe Torelli. The chamber orchestra of the Vienna Festival was conducted by Wilfried Böttcher. Sadly, the lovely violin playing isn't credited on the recording, but the guitarist was Carl Scheidt. Giuseppe Torelli is one of those rather shadowy figures of the Baroque, because not a great deal of detail is known about his life. He was born in Verona in 1658 and grew up in a very large family as the sixth of nine children, of whom the youngest, Felice, became famous as a painter. His father was a health inspector for the local customs office and was able to support his family very comfortably. Aside from that, very little has been discovered about his schooling or his early training as a musician. There's evidence that he played the violin in a Vesper service at the Church of San Stefano in Verona in May 1676, and that between the summer of 1683 and early autumn of 1684, he was a violinist at Verona Cathedral. Later in 1684, Torelli moved from Verona to Bologna, where he'd been admitted to the Accademia Filarmonica, a 17th-century equivalent of a modern music college. Padre Martini's catalogue of new students that year lists him as Giuseppe Torelli, Maestro di Cappella of the Cathedral of Imola. So we assume he spent time in Imola between leaving Verona and arriving in Bologna. 2 years later, Torelli applied for a position as a viola player in the permanent orchestra of the Basilica of San Petronio in Bologna and was appointed after 4 months' trial. Clearly the musical establishment in Bologna didn't take any chances. He held that job down for nearly 10 years, making a name for himself as a violinist, teacher and composer at the same time. Actually, the violin was his first instrument, and it seems he was absent from the orchestra on a regular basis, a fact noted with some displeasure in the records, due to frequent performances in places like Parma and Modena, always as a solo violinist. The vast majority of Torelli's compositions around this time were for his own instrument, presumably for him to play. Here's a concerto for four violins, performed by Musica Antiqua Köln.
Thank you.
The concerto for four violins in E minor by Giuseppe Torelli, played there by Musica Antique for Köln, conducted by Reinhard Goebel. In 1696, the orchestra of the Basilica of San Petronio was disbanded, leaving Torelli and his colleagues out of work. Torelli's answer to this unscheduled redundancy was to travel north from Bologna and across the Alps into Germany, where he eventually settled in Augsburg as the maestro di concerto for the Margrave of Brandenburg. The Brandenburg court certainly gave Torelli some much-needed stability and a healthy number of new influential contacts. The Margrave was rather proud of his new music master and allowed Torelli, along with the singer Francesco Pistocchi, to travel far and wide to Berlin and Vienna to perform in his name. Torelli also taught the violin to the young Johann Georg Pisendel, who was later to become the concertmaster of the famous Dresden Orchestra. As a special thank-you present for his patronage, Torelli composed a set of 12 concerti grossi, which he dedicated to the Margrave of Brandenburg. His opus 6 concerti musicali were published in Augsburg in 1698. We're going to hear number 1 of the set now, performed by St. James's Baroque Players.
Thank you.
Ivor Bolton conducted St James's Baroque Players in that performance of Giuseppe Torelli's Concerto for Strings in G Major, Opus 6, No. 1, dedicated to his employer, the Margrave of Brandenburg, in 1698. And just a few decades later, a future Margrave of Brandenburg was to be commemorated in another set of concertos from one Johann Sebastian Bach. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott. Torelli remained in Augsburg for 5 years, but returned to Italy in 1701 and to his former home in Bologna. The orchestra of San Petronio Basilica had recently been reconstituted, and Torelli was appointed as its new concertmaster. This top job kept him very busy, but also allowed him time to compose and to have his new works performed by the orchestra. He produced most of his output of concertos around this time, including his Opus 8 set of Concerti Grossi. This is number 9 in E minor.
Thank you.
The Concerto Grosso in E minor, Opus 8, No. 9 by Giuseppe Torelli, played by I Musici. Torelli is now considered to be the most influential composer from the Bolognese school, which also included names such as Giacchini, Franceschini and Domenico Gabrieli, and his development of the symphony and concerto forms is thought to have greatly influenced the next generation of Venetian composers such as Albinoni and Vivaldi. We're going to hear one of Torelli's grandest compositions next. The resources available to him at the San Petronio Basilica in Bologna were almost inexhaustible. It wasn't unheard of for the orchestra to assemble up to 120 players, impressive even by modern symphony orchestra standards. This is a good example of the sort of instrumental forces at Torelli's disposal. The Sinfonia in C for four trumpets, oboes, bassoons, bass trumpet and timpani. It's played by the Philharmonia Orchestra. The Philharmonia Orchestra, directed by Christopher Warren Green in that Sinfonia by Giuseppe Torelli. Torelli remained in Bologna until the end of his life, which came in 1709 at the age of just 51. He's remembered as one of the great orchestral innovators of the late 17th and early 18th centuries, and he left behind a large number of sinfonias, concertos and sonatas for various instrumental forces. He's perhaps best known today, though, as a composer for the trumpet, so we'll end with a sinfonia for that instrument in D major. It's played here by that doughty champion of the trumpet, Crispian Steele Perkins, with Collegium Musicum 90, directed by Simon Standage. Thank you.
Today's Early Music Show was presented by Catherine Bott and produced by Les Pratt.
This is the British Broadcasting Company calling.
The station goes on the air. Television broadcast for the first time. First outside broadcast of the Olympic Games.
First colour television programme.
You can keep abreast of the latest news with CFAX, meaning CFAX.
The BBC puts computers in schools.
BBC iPlayer, making the unmissable
truly unmissable.
You're listening to the BBC Proms in HD sound.
They wait patiently as the starter calls them forward now.
We're giving you complete control of what you want to watch and when you want to watch it.
It's gold!
We've been bringing you the future since 1922. Makes you wonder, where next? You can search online for BBC Where Next.
Well, I'm quite out of breath.
This is the British Broadcasting Company calling.
I'm sorry, I didn't intend to hear it again. What I was going to do was to say you might like to listen to this after that.
Thank you.
Billy Mayall's Jasmine, played by Philip Dyson. BBC Radio 3 now our Sunday concert, which was recorded last Friday in Cardiff. It's introduced by Nicola Hayward-Thomas.
Welcome to St David's Hall in Cardiff. Today, the BBC National Orchestra of Wales and principal conductor Thomas Sondergaard are joined by the award-winning Welsh pianist Llyr Williams. They have just two works for us, but what works? Carl Nielsen's Fifth Symphony, inspired, as the composer himself wrote, by the division of dark and light, the battle between evil and good. Before that, a concerto that's been described as the Mount Everest of the piano repertoire, Rachmaninoff's Third. By the time he began work on it in 1909, he was enjoying great international success as a composer, pianist, and conductor. Rachmaninoff dedicated the concerto No. 3 to his friend, the Polish-American pianist Joseph Hoffman. But when he declined to play it, the composer himself gave the premiere in New York. He'd spent much of the Atlantic crossing practicing the fiendishly difficult solo part on a dummy keyboard. The demands of this three-movement concerto are so great that initially only Rachmaninoff would play it, and the complexity of the work also left audiences lukewarm. The third concerto, though, grew in popularity once Vladimir Horowitz began to perform it extensively, and the work touched a mass audience thanks to the film Shine, the dramatized portrayal of the pianist David Helfgott's fight against mental illness through a lengthy battle with the piece. Well, our soloist today is North Wales-born pianist Llyr Williams. He says this is almost a concerto too far, in which Rachmaninoff takes everything to an extreme, in length, in density and difficulty, and in the different voices in the piano part. So please welcome now Llyr Williams, together with conductor Thomas Sondergaard, to join the BBC National Orchestra of Wales for Rachmaninoff's third piano concerto.